Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm 8 podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. The regulatory body that oversees Montana's electric utilities moves to Sioux News Media, how scientists perform experiments at home during the pandemic, and the latest updates on coronavirus. It's Wednesday, May 13th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The Trump administration on Monday moved to block a Washington state law that imposed safety restrictions on oil shipments by rail in response to numerous explosive accidents. The Department of Transportation determined federal law preempts the state's mandate that crude from the oil fields of the Northwest Plains have more of its volatile gases removed prior to being loaded onto rail cars. The attorneys general for Montana and North Dakota had argued the law effectively banned crude from their states. A spokesperson for Washington Governor Jay Inslee says the state is considering its legal options in response to the determination. A judge is revising a ruling that held up utility projects crossing streams and wetlands, but says new oil and gas pipelines will still need further reviews. Monday's ruling from U.S. District Judge Brian Morris means the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers can again use a disputed program to approve electrical lines and other utility work through streams and wetlands. Maintenance and repairs on existing pipelines also would be allowed, but not construction of new pipelines. The program was blocked by Morris last month. Environmentalists say it lets companies skirt water protection laws and ignore cumulative harm from thousands of stream and wetlands crossings. A spokesperson for the gas industry said the ruling would quickly be appealed. The body that regulates electric utilities in Montana is asking a court to rule on what information it must disclose to news media outlets after they filed public records requests earlier this year. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Public Service Commission lawyers filed a complaint in late April asking a Great Falls District Court judge to make the call on what they can and cannot disclose about improper access and release of commissioner work emails. Multiple media outlets, including YPR, submitted public information requests to find out who may have acquired Bozeman Commissioner Roger Koopman's unredacted work emails. The issue came under public examination earlier this year when conservative political blog Northwest Liberty News received the emails from an unnamed source and posted them to its website. PSC lawyers in their complaint cite concern for employee privacy and attorney-client privilege and ask the court to decide what information must legally be released to the media outlets. The defendants include three anonymous PSC employees, the parent companies of the Billings Gazette and the Great Falls Tribune, and Montana State University. Montana State University Billings holds the license for Yellowstone Public Radio. The lawsuit puts all three outlets in the position of having to pay attorneys to argue their case. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
In the interest of full disclosure, MSU is a defendant in the case, and YPR's Kayla DeRoche is named and quoted in the plaintiff's court papers. A woman has suffered burns after falling into a thermal feature at Yellowstone National Park, which is closed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Officials say she was reportedly backing up while taking photos yesterday and fell into a hot spring or hole where hot gases emerge near Old Faithful Geyser. Despite her injuries, the woman drove for roughly 50 miles until park rangers stopped her and she was flown to a hospital. Park officials didn't release the extent of her injury. Visitors are warned to stay on the boardwalks near Yellowstone's often boiling or acidic thermal features. When they don't, it's led to injuries and deaths. Another Powder River Basin coal mine has reduced its workforce in response to weak market conditions. Decker Coal Company furloughed 98 miners Friday, sending them home until May 26th. The Decker Coal Mine is in southern Montana, just north of the Wyoming line. The company says the mine's domestic customers stopped accepting shipments recently. Nearly 400 coal miners in the Powder River Basin have been laid off as less electricity use during the coronavirus pandemic diminishes demand for coal-fired power. The Decker mine produced over 1 million tons of coal and employed 164 workers in the first quarter of 2020. This morning, we're continuing our series looking at the impact of the novel coronavirus pandemic on science in Montana. Since COVID-19 shut down research deemed non-essential across the state, some scientists are now bringing their work home. Mary Auld reports.
University of Montana undergraduate lab technician Maddie Miller has transformed her apartment's kitchen into a home lab. She's showing it off via Zoom.
I'll show you in my refrigerator. Is where I keep my samples, just in there with food.
Next to seltzer cans and a Tupperware of leftover curry, a cardboard box holds the ancient mud Miller analyzes. Miller works in the university's paleoecology lab, where she studies lake bottom sediments that hold historical records of fire activity. They provide clues about the future.
For example, are we going to see more frequent fires?
Scientific labs are collaborative places where researchers work in close proximity and share materials and equipment. When the pandemic hit, scientists made changes to prevent the spread of the virus. Miller adjusted the way she uses her kitchen.
When it switches over to like lab work time, it's just like can't be used for making myself lunch.
Associate Professor Phil Higuera said he decided to keep his lab open remotely after talking with researchers in other states where the virus broke out earlier.
We identified the procedures that were most adaptable to doing in a home environment, both from the safety of the student and anticipating troubleshooting or differences in equipment or just random things like your cat jumping up on the table.
Still, some work must be done in the lab, like work with chemicals. And some samples are just too large to fit in a home refrigerator. Researchers will have to pick those things up when they can return to the lab. So COVID-19 will slow the lab's progress, though not as much as if research stopped altogether.
You know, scientific research, it requires a lot of creativity to problem solve. And so in a way, this was just another example of problem solving to figure out how to accomplish the research goals.
For Montana Public Radio, I'm Mary Auld.
This story is supported by a grant from the National Geographic COVID-19 Emergency Fund for Journalists. Montana is reporting 461 confirmed cases of the COVID-19 illness as of this morning, with one new case in Bighorn County and one in Cascade County. 425 people have recovered, while 20 cases are still active. Toole County currently has the most active cases, with 6.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. We're now into the third week of Montana's reopening plan, and we thought it might be helpful to check in on where things stand with our case count, testing, and reopening.
New lab-confirmed cases of COVID-19 illness in Montana have been dropping week by week to a point where last week only 6 tests came back positive. That's down from a high in late March, when sometimes 20 cases were identified a day.
As of yesterday, there were 20 lab-confirmed cases in the state, though we'll throw in our usual caveat that it's possible more people have the illness who haven't been tested or aren't showing symptoms. Toole County currently has the most active cases in the state, nearly all of them related to an outbreak at a nursing home there. The remaining COVID-19 patients there are in isolation, and no new cases have been diagnosed in weeks. This outbreak has been the deadliest in Montana, accounting for 6 of the state's 16 deaths.
Last Friday, Governor Steve Bullock said testing is starting to increase as more supplies like swabs, vials, and personal protective equipment shipments arrive in the state.
As we strive to increase testing capacity, continue to get supplies both for testing and PPE, and with our ability to contact and trace, I believe we'll be able to quickly respond if we see an uptick of cases in the community.
Bullock recently said he wants 60,000 tests a month. So far, a total of 23,000 tests have been run in Montana. Over the past week, the state lab has run about 450 or so tests a day.
As for contact tracing, recent analysis from the state health department says more than 2,000 contacts have been identified through the contact tracing investigation process. These investigations cross county and reservation boundaries. Close contacts go into quarantine for 2 weeks, and a nurse checks in on them every day. And a reminder that quarantining those contacts is critical to containing the virus because you're removing the possibility of one of those people infecting someone else. As of May 1st, about half of the state's total cases were found through that contact tracing investigation.
Montana still isn't a place where everyone in the state can be tested. There aren't enough supplies to do that, and there's no guarantee someone wouldn't contract the virus after they were tested. Instead, Bullock last Friday said the state is targeting vulnerable populations with expanded testing that started this week. The plan is to start with 21 long-term care and assisted living facilities, testing about 2,200 residents and staff. The governor has said he also wants to test people at the state's two veterans homes, other state-owned congregate care facilities like Warm Springs, and Native American communities.
We'll be testing for symptomatic and asymptomatic.
The state analysis released last week also shows we're back to the majority of new cases being picked up from out-of-state travel as opposed to in the community. That's true for a couple new cases that were found in West Yellowstone last week. And more broadly, places like Flathead County determined that 40% of their cases were picked up elsewhere. This highlights a real fear that we're hearing from listeners. With so few cases here in Montana and everything starting to open back up, are people going to come here to escape the pandemic?
The requirement for incoming travelers to quarantine for 2 weeks is still in effect. That directive isn't attached to the governor's reopening plan, and Bullock hasn't given any indication on when he will lift it. Last week, he said the Montana National Guard is still checking travelers' temperatures at certain airports and train stations, and the Department of Transportation has posted signs on highways coming into the state.
No plans or no announcements yet as far as lifting sort of that quarantine period for those that want to travel to Montana for vacation.
We'll note, though, that enforcement is largely up to the travelers themselves, and county health departments and county attorneys have some enforcement mechanisms.
Montana's gradual reopening is going to take another step forward Friday, when gyms, theaters, and museums can open under new guidance.
This is still under phase one of the larger reopening plan, right?
Right, but since that first phase was announced, phase one has expanded. Pools at hotels and motels were retroactively opened last week. The opening does not include hot springs.
I mean, each piece of this, and when we announced this, even said, none of this is written in stone. We want to see what's happening in our states and our communities as businesses are also preparing to open, and it'll be a phased approach all the way along.
Some counties are taking a slower approach to reopening. Notably, Missoula County kept bars and restaurants closed a few extra days, though last week Missoula started to align itself with the state's reopening timeline. On the other hand, most Native American tribes renewed their call for people to respect restrictions on reservations.
Can I just back us up here a minute? You said we're still in phase one. Really big picture, what does that mean?
Big picture, it means we're still at the start of reopening, and people with underlying health conditions, people over 65, are being told to still stay at home. Everyone else is strongly encouraged to continue social distancing. Group sizes are limited to 10 or fewer people when physical distancing can't happen. Some schools are bringing students back for in-person instruction, but that's more common in really small schools. You might have seen pictures last week from Willow Creek in Three Forks. Teachers were using pool noodles to remind students to stay 6 feet apart. Bigger school districts have opted to stick with remote learning for the rest of the year.
So to recap, some businesses are choosing to reopen under new half-capacity and social distancing guidelines. New lab-confirmed cases in Montana are dropping, even as we're slowly increasing testing. The governor says we've flattened the curve, but we're not out of the woods. The incubation period for the COVID-19 illness is about 2 weeks, so we might see a bump in lab-confirmed cases in the next couple weeks as reopening continues. There's also a big question mark about whether Montana will see another surge as summer tourists come into the state. Thanks, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.